Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, wow! You are listening to a brand new episode of the Speaking to the Podlight Show, a mediaphilic podcast exchange of Beneficence.com PR and Bond Girl 007 e-newsroom, where we're show-telling extraordinary PR clients and celebrity guests doing their need-to-know best. And I'm Tracy Bond, 007, your Olivia PR rope of PR hope and scope, your radio host doing the PR most, inviting you to become a listener and valued subscriber to our show content on our website at speakingtothepodlight.com. On Facebook, Instagram, and of course, we're on Twitter at Into the Podlight. To learn how to become an upcoming featured guest on the Speaking to the Podlight show, visit our website at speakingtothepodlight.com. Hit our contact page and be sure to let us know. So let's get on with our show, started by introducing you to today's special PR guest. So hello, listeners, and welcome to today's show. You are tuned in to Speak Into the Podlight podcast on Blog Talk Radio, also streaming on Spreaker. And Speak Into the Podlight is hosted and produced by Beneficence.com, Prolific Personage PR, together also with Bond Girl 007 Newsroom, as a mediaphilic podcast exchange for show-telling the stories of our extraordinary clientele and guests doing their need-to-know best. That's right. We want you to know what they know you need to know about what it is that they do and do so well. I'm Tracy Bond, your PR host, doing the PR most this morning, and so glad to launch our inaugural episode of a new show program called Let's Talk on Tuesday, or Talk About It Tuesday. Entrepreneurs and small business owners today are chatting about the challenges of self-promotion in 2017. And today we've invited some special guests to call in and let's have a chat. Let's exchange stories and see if we can find out what works well, what doesn't, or how to even balance the two. I'd like to welcome our caller today on the line. Say hello, won't you please?
Good morning. My name is Takesha Valentine. I own Integrity First Accounting and Tax Services Company. I'm a certified public accountant and certified internal auditor, primarily working in the Chicagoland area. However, we do serve clients all across the country. And thank you, Tracy, for inviting me on the show today.
Well, thank you, Takesha. You know, welcome. Welcome to the show. So let's get right into our topic, the challenges of self-promotion. As a business owner, you know, when you initially conceptualize launching a business, you've got your training, and understand you are a certified public accountant as well as a certified internal auditor and tax preparation professional. Is that right?
That is correct. I've been a CPA for about 17 years now. And I've been a certified internal auditor for a little less, but overall, all of my experience is in the accounting and auditing field.
Great. So when did you realize that self-promoting your business was a challenge for you?
Honestly, it's an ongoing challenge. Especially in our industry, a lot of the long-term clients come by word of mouth. And if you cannot promote yourself or if there's no one there to promote you, then it makes word of mouth advertising or promoting very challenging. No one knows that you're there. you know, a lot of that word of mouth clientele is not going to come. So you have to be very creative in your networking opportunities, making sure that you stay with the times. For example, you can't be stuck on promoting in print if the industry is moving to social media.
Sure. Sure. Relevance is so important.
Yes, ma'am.
So word of mouth is something that you found was critical.
Correct. And what's odd is, at least in my experience, it's when I am trying not to do so that it works the best. I've had,
especially, isn't that right?
Yes, I've had recently a lot of people, you know, come and said, oh, they've seen my logo, for example, and they may say, well, you know, that looks familiar. And I'm like, well, where'd you see it? And he said, well, I don't remember, but I remember that logo. I remember seeing the integrity with the one in it. So to any entrepreneur or small business owner, I would say, even if it looks like things are not working, keep at it, because you cannot always tell exactly what's going to work or where that next larger or valuable client is going to come from. Now, if there is something that you're doing and you know that it's bringing about negative results, or maybe attracting a clientele that's not best for your business model, then of course that's something to look at. But especially when you're within the first 5 years, I think anything is beneficial.
And, you know, that's what they say, especially in PR, when you're talking about, you know, just trying to get exposure and get yourself out there. But today's focus is really, you know, self-promotion challenges. I'm really interested in hearing what specific things that you did and where you realized that you had to step back from taking that role on, you know, chiefly. Google defines self-promotion as the action of promoting or publicizing oneself or one's activities, especially in a forceful way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's no wonder that, you know, perception-wise, when you're self-promoting, I think there's something inside us. Maybe you can agree. I know at first I did. I thought, oh, you know, who wants to talk about themselves? Because you can already anticipate there's going to be, you know, a closed ear. But in many cases, as you said, you know, if you don't do it, then how does anyone know? And I think that, you know, there's a right and there's a wrong way. I think it's really a skill and an art, but you want to be conscious of really what it is that you're communicating. And to me, self-promotion is nothing other than a communication, especially for business owners, where you're presenting information to someone else, but I don't know. I think what really helped me was really focusing on the values, because when you're talking about yourself,
mm-hmm.
2017, I think it's always been kind of a customary culture, but I definitely can say that in 2017, really doesn't, no one cares
mm-hmm.
about us like that.
Right.
You know, it's really, it's the mental, I think, disposition, especially if when you're out here networking. I've talked about this show content with some people, and they immediately can identify with, oh, yeah, you know, it is a challenge. But these people are, you know, that you're talking to really want to know what is in what you're talking about. For what is in it for them.
Right. And you're exactly right, Tracy. I think there are two things that you said that are key. First, there's a science to it. No one, ourselves included, is going to take pleasure in listening to someone just sitting and talking about themselves on and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you have to promote your business or your services, you still have to find a way to do that without, and I use this word very loosely, without offending your audience or offending the person you're speaking to.
Sure.
And something else you mentioned was focus on what's in it for them. And in my industry, I think the best way to do that is to show your knowledge of the companies or the individuals' accounting or tax situation. So the focus, one, you're self-promoting yourself. And that sounds a little redundant, but you're promoting yourself because you're showing the person that you can handle whatever task it is that they need you for. So you're giving that what's in it for me to them. And at the same time, they're getting comfortable with your level of experience without you just blatantly saying, well, this is who I am and this is what I can do and this is what I have done. Me, 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 me. No, let's take a different approach. And like I said, change the science to it. And let's talk about you. The first step is actively listening to that potential client or whomever it is that may be overhearing the conversation. Because if you're in an open environment and someone is listening to you, you best believe they're going to take note of what you're saying to them. And another, your next client can come in that same way. So
let me hold you right there. Hold on. Let me stop you right there because I want to really get into, as you share these incredible examples, I want the listener to identify with a real challenge. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, as you're setting up these ideal scenarios, can I bring you back to like a challenge and ask you, can you share a time? Can you remember what it felt like for you to either address the challenge or overcome it? Can you give a specific example of your own?
Sure. And even though I've been in business for a while, those challenges still arise. So most
That's
recently,
great to know. So it doesn't go away, huh?
No, not always. What happens is you get more comfortable in addressing the challenge. But just because you've overcome a challenge, say 3 years ago, does not mean it's not going to come back around. So most recently, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No. Go ahead. I'm getting to it. I'm excited to hear.
Most recently, I was meeting with a potential client, and we were going back and forth on the proposed services, and they wanted to be comfortable that I was aware of the challenges in their specific industry. And although we had spoken over the phone and gone back and forth over email, once we met in person, a lot of the same questions came up. And so it gave me the opportunity to say, okay, without telling them the same things I've told them before, let me sit down and let them know what I've done with other clients that are in their industry. Not necessarily doing the exact same things as they are, but I can say, okay, this is what I've done, for example, for a nonprofit organization. I've done controller CFO services, and with that role, I was able to do this. We were able to work on the budget. We were able to correct some things that maybe another staff person didn't do the right way. We were able to meet deadlines. We were able to process your annual IRS return. I understand that as a nonprofit, you don't your vision or your focus is different than those that are in business to make money. You're distributing the grants that are given to you, so your focus is a little bit different. And without getting too technical, nonprofit accounting is completely different than how you can handle some for-profit business accounting. And I need to let you understand that I understand those challenges. And not only do I understand them, I've had years of experience with them. Even though it may not be with your particular type of organization, I can still handle that for you. And just as an encouragement to other entrepreneurs that may be listening, you also want to take note of the nonverbal cues if you can when you're addressing your own challenge. That can help you to get more comfortable. So if you're seeing that your potential client is getting more relaxed, it helps you to overcome the challenge all at the same time. You're making them more comfortable, and at the same time, you're more comfortable.
I absolutely agree, and I thank you for sharing that. So listeners, I believe what we're hearing Takesha share is that she engaged in a multiple, sensory skill of being perceptive. Number one, you're using your random access memory, because in your previous contact or communication with this client prospect, you realized that as questions came back up, you wanted to readdress it in a different way without sounding, I guess, redundant, repeating the same information you already gave. I would actually say to that, when you get the same questions, it's usually an indicator that someone wasn't clear on what you were communicating. How many of you all listening find a challenge with self-promotion because you're not sure that you can really communicate what it is that you do so effectively that you solidify a match in the mind of that client? How many of you all can relate to that? If you're listening, I want you to call in. I want you to get in on this conversation, because if you are a direct service provider, a direct service professional, as Takesha, our guest caller in today, it does rely on you. You know, this is going to be a make or break situation. Who else are they going to talk to? And that's who I want to talk with and chat with today. Call in and talk with both of us. This is Let's Talk About Tuesday. We're talking about entrepreneurs and small business owners sharing their challenges of self-promotion in 2017. And, I want to know, how did you do that? Well, she was conscious visually, you know, with that human-to-human contact, that there were even nonverbal cues being given, and that kind of helped her navigate how to self-promote, but with success stories, which I think I want to give you a virtual thumbs up, Takesha, for doing that.
Tracy,
that's an incredible PR skill and tactic to be observant, and then I call it a listening skill, because then it shows that you're listening to the client prospect, and now you know what kind of communication they need so they can get into a comfort level, because all things are going on in their mind. They're probably sitting here thinking, is this the right person? Am I wasting my time? Do I need to keep even giving them my mental attention because I'm uneasy, I'm not hearing what I need to hear? So thank you, Takesha. We have another caller on the line I want to welcome in to the show. Let me bring you in. Excuse me. Good morning, caller, and welcome to Talk on Tuesday on the Speaking to the Pod Light Show. Say hello to the listeners.
Hello.
Hello. Who's calling?
This is Dr. Philip Daniels.
All right, all right. Welcome, Dr. Philip Daniels. This is Talk. I am well. I just had to take a breath. This is Talk on Tuesday. So glad you called into the show. We're talking about the real self-promotion challenges that entrepreneurs are having, and I'm so glad that you called in. What can you contribute to this conversation today? What are some of your challenges specifically, and how did you manage those challenges?
Well, one of the things that I know is entrepreneurs deal with and struggle with every day is the fact that they try to hold all the cards. And not having a mastermind group. And the failure to understand the mastermind principle calls for most entrepreneurs to struggle in everyday self-promotion, marketing their business, public relations, because they try to wear all the hats. And when in actuality, when you started the business, that was never really the game plan. You really truly wanted to run a fully functional, operatable business, but you went in with the wrong mindset, and you had to the mindset of, I can do all of this, and it would run successfully. And time again, I've tried that, and I failed numerous of times. And I realized today, in order to be successful, you need to have a mastermind group. There are two types of education in the world. There's two types of knowledge, and one is specialized knowledge, and one is generalized knowledge. Everyone who is out nowadays that's in the entrepreneur world, they're operating off of generalized knowledge. They're trying to get a piece of everything. And when you understand the mastermind principle, you will hire people who specialize in the fields that you need done. And when it comes to promotion, you need a promoter who specializes in promotion.
Excellent point. Thank you so much. Sorry to interrupt you, but we've got another caller on the line, but I want you to stay with me. Thank you for that share, because for our listeners, thank you for being transparent and even sharing, you know, where you realized that you were failing. You've got a great business concept. You're offering professional services. Both of you are professionals. And so the confidence is there, but come on now, you're taking on so much that, you know, when you get into this space of now having to be the, and I'll use the term horn tutor, something, you know, doesn't connect. So I want to thank you for contributing that, getting your mindset prepared for engaging in the area of promotions. It helped you realize, is that right, that you needed to employ a third party in order to, you know, overcome the challenge that you had. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Stay with me. I've got another caller I want to bring on to also share a challenge on this chat today. It's Talk on Tuesday on Speaking to the Podlight, and we want entrepreneurs, brand owners, business owners to call into the show today and share their real self-promotion challenges. If you're listening, please call in. The number is 929-477-1598. Dial in, put your headset on if you're in the car, and share with us your challenges, because this is how, in a group setting, and this could be considered even a mastermind, as Dr. shared, a group where you're going to glean some value here. And we hope you hear something that's going to help you hit the reset button. That's a word I've been using all year. And to go back and set yourself up for success in overcoming these challenges. I'd like to welcome a caller on hold. We have a new caller today to the show. Welcome and say hello and give us an introduction to who you are.
Hi, this is Delise Williams from Kids Corner. How are you guys this morning?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Delise. And a shout out to Kids Corner for checking in. So I'm sure you've been listening to the show and what we're talking about. You're an entrepreneur. Tell us, what has been a real self-promotion challenge for you and the kind of business that you operate in, Ms. Williams?
Well, I was listening, and I loved what the doctor said in regards to specialized challenge versus generalized challenge, knowledge. And that's definitely true. You know, we just kind of gravitate to what we see that we think that works for others, and we don't realize how hard things are, especially
yes.
if you're not, a specialized person to handle that area. So I'm going to just sit back and continue to listen, because I'm kind of multitasking at the same time, but I'm taking notes because I definitely need the information. And, just to move our company forward, we've been working with Kids Corner for 20 years now. And,
congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, of course, there's always a lot of stuff that we can continue to learn to continue to help our organization grow. So I'm very thankful that I was able to chime in on this morning and to just get the knowledge that I need to move us to the next level.
Wonderful. So I want to thank you just for sharing that. And, you know, for a business that has existed 20 years, that alone is an achievement and accomplishment. And how about you should be having a reputation established well by that point. So if we can, you know, share anything, those of you all who are on the call, that would help us all propel into a success track this year. That's what I want to cover. So thank you all for your contributions. Let me talk a little bit about the challenges of this self-promotion thing, and that are real in 2017. I want the listeners to think about all the content that they worked to produce and to get out, right? All of the Facebook postings, trying to keep up with Twitter. My God, you're on LinkedIn if you're a professional. And Lord knows that's a free way of self-promotion, is it not? Is everybody connected on
LinkedIn?
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, it is.
So don't you feel that way? Like, wow, this is a network of self-promoters, because you have to position your profile a certain way, get your summary out there. You've got to show all the things you've done. And based on that, people make a mental decision about the value of your professional connection in their network. If you're on LinkedIn, how many of us on the line, and feel free to chime in, are really actively promoting themselves on that platform?
I'll be very transparent to say that I am not doing all I can on LinkedIn. And it's funny that we started talking about this, because that's actually a professional goal of mine for 2017. I've been on LinkedIn for years, but I haven't taken full advantage of everything it has to offer. But as I was saying earlier, one of the self-promoting challenges you may face is not getting the right type of clientele that really fits your business model. And that was a decision I had to make late last year with some of the avenues I was using. It wasn't bringing the level or the industry of clientele that I was looking for, but yet I had LinkedIn here at my disposal all along, and I wasn't using it.
Okay, so thank you for sharing. Now, I just like to establish a foundation in conversations, and I don't want to assume that our listeners, even though we are targeting entrepreneurs and brand and business owners, LinkedIn, if you Google LinkedIn, by definition, it's a social networking site that is designed specifically for business community. Okay, yes, it's a social networking site and platform, but it's not Facebook. This is not where you post pictures of your pet. This is not the platform where you're really flaunting what it is that you did for the weekend. This is designed specifically for the business community, and the goal of their site is to allow registered members to two things: establish and then document the networks of people they know and trust professionally. There's a free membership, and then there's also levels to membership that almost create, I want to say, a status of member right within the networking site. And there are people who are on there that are truly guarded. They're not necessarily self-promoters, but they're there, and they're networking value. They choose who they're wanting to interact with. And so when you have I think the highest level of membership, they call them premiums, you get access to even send what they call in mail. It's not considered a message. You're sending an in mail so that you can make sure that your communication is getting in the front of this business person. And network members are called connections on LinkedIn. And that's a word I love to use, because connection involves, there's some synergy and there's some relationship here. So thank you for sharing, Takesha. I think that LinkedIn has its values, but for entrepreneurs and business owners, that are and definitely brand owners who are looking to build relationships. Are you building a relationship as an employer? Are you building a relationship of people that you can network with, collaborate with? What if you are a business owner that's, you know, you're a B2B, and really the nature of your business is serving other business owners like yourself? I think LinkedIn, with that self-promotion culture, exists so that depending on how you're promoting yourself, they can trust it a little bit better. So in a nutshell, listeners, LinkedIn is a great PR tool because it's set up for self-promotion. But what happens is, when you're connecting with other people of value, LinkedIn kicks in algorithmically, and it starts to present you to others that they predict, based on the kind of people you're connecting with, would enhance your connection value. So I encourage people, you know, go on and look and see. I think what happens is once you hit about 500 connections, LinkedIn doesn't really divulge, I think, exactly how many connections you have. You might individually need to go in and look at someone's profile, but they instigate a little bit and they kind of give you little nicknames. I know, I remember the thrill I had when LinkedIn termed me an all-star, because once I got it, and I realized I need to be consciously active to connect with people that I'm meeting. You all get what I'm saying? Not just take uh-huh. their business card and add it to my Rolodex, not just make sure they're in my phone, but I need to manage that connection on a platform that is designed to assist me in doing that, and then keep up somewhat of a connection with them. You can do posts nowadays that show you and your community and people who are following you what your thought leadership is like. That's a term. Let me ask the doctor here. What do you think? How valuable do you think thought leadership is when it comes to promoting yourself as an entrepreneur and business owner?
You know, when you just mentioned that about thought leadership, I was thinking the same thing, and you struck a chord in my mind, because there is a author that his name is Austin Keelan, and he talks about self-promotion, and he talks about the six steps of self-promoting. And when he mentioned simply that you need a creative team around you. Without having that creative team around you, what happens is that your mindset tends to lean to your own thoughts. And there is a principle that says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways, right? But in all thy ways.
Oh, yeah.
That means that when you're in business, you need other creative minds. That's having that thought leadership in mind, saying, hey, I need to focus on one thing, because Henry Ford once said, when in trial, he said, "Why should I clutter my mind with a whole bunch of useless things, which I would never specialize in personally?
Mm-hmm.
Why not focus all in finding those who specialize in it for me?" And I think that that's where that thought leadership comes in. It shows your ability to say, "Hey, I know how to control the vision and distribute away. Control the vision and distribute away." That's my thought on that.
Okay. Thank you for your thought. And just so that we're all in the same place, and thank you for sharing that proverb. For you listening, that proverb is, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Submit your ways to him and make your path straight." I can certainly say amen and testify that that's a principle that has definitely been able to help me in success. And I'm so glad that you brought it up, Doctor, because, you know, we're talking about the business of the kingdom of God. And it really is what it is. It was an operation. It was a way of leading people and governing, but it's a citizenship in a spiritual realm. And, you know, guiding, when we're talking about communicating messages about ourselves, I think Jesus is the greatest example of PR in relation to how God's kingdom operates. I mean, this is what he stated himself was the gospel. He said it was of the kingdom of God. How many people have in their imaginations got a different message, and they've entertained the thought of what they think it is to them? See, that's where perception comes in. And it's so important that we communicate with a thought leadership model to make sure people hear accurately about the business. I just can't tell you, when I'm reading those red letters and I'm reading where Jesus talked about the kingdom, many times he was opposed. People were leaning to their own understanding, which left them offended. They weren't hearing him accurately. And a lot of that has to do because their thoughts were already, I want to say, preconditioned. And they weren't really trying to learn. He kept saying, "The message that I'm telling you about this business," and he used the term "my father's business" that he was about. He said, "These messages aren't my own." He said, "You know, I've been dispatched here to communicate something to you that would be a valuable exchange if you seek to purchase it with all your mind, your heart, and your soul." And so thought leadership, you know, when it comes to self-promotion, I think actually reduces challenges, because if you are positioned as an influencer and you know how to communicate your influence well, what makes you? Let's even go there and let's talk about a bit about what makes you a thought leader. You know, what's the definition of that? Well, Google again says a thought leader is someone whose views on a subject are taken to be authoritative and influential. If you are in a field where you have been in that area long enough, like our caller, Ms. Delise Williams, who said, "You know, I've been 20 years in this," I would automatically in my mind say that based on what I know, also being in business that long, is if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know how to do it well after 20 years, there is something wrong. And you're still in business. By that time, you ought to have established something that can be transferred to either a successor or to the industry. Something you can lead them with based on your experiences. Would you all agree? Yeah. Let me know you're still with me. A thought leader is often going to be sought out and rewarded. You see them all the time, right? They're the ones that get them spots on TV. When you get an expert, something goes on, and then you know you have a news show, and that expert commentator is called in, and they share either a political position or they give you information based on their expertise. It could be on criminology. It could be from a legal aspect. You all see where I'm going with this? How do you think, let me ask you, how do you think thought leadership has helped you, maybe with someone else? Can you give an example where it impacted you and you didn't see them as necessarily self-promoting because you could perceive that just on their position as a thought leader, when they talk about their business, it's better received, I guess. I hope I'm communicating that well. Can anybody contribute and just give an example about where they saw that challenge of self-promotion come down when learning about or being associated with a thought leader? Anyone?
Sure, I can share, especially being in my field. A lot of what's being done on either the accounting or the tax side is highly technical. So it can go both ways. I can be considered a thought leader, or in talking with more of my colleagues, I can look at someone else as being a thought leader. And I say, we talked a little bit about Facebook and how it is definitely not LinkedIn, but you have a lot of professionals on there who, even though they are not trying to do so, people are always watching, and they may take something that you say as a thought leadership position. And I was in this position not too long ago and discussing some of the changes that the IRS implemented recently. And you have other people who think they are familiar with your field and are not even in the industry. And when you kind of put yourself in a position just, as you said, Tracy, not actively trying to self-promote your business or what it is you're doing, but just commenting in order to provide some clarification on something that someone else is saying that is maybe grossly inaccurate or just mistaken, you inadvertently put yourself there. So without getting
That's
too
true.
Technical, the IRS mm-hmm. made some changes. And a lot of people, I posted something on my professional Facebook page, and just to let my clients know about those changes that were coming up. And one of them included that the tax season wouldn't open until late January, the 23rd to be exact. And to watch out for any other professional that was promising to complete and file their return before that time, because it really wasn't going to go anywhere. And surprisingly, I had some people come against me for that comment because they were some of the ones that were beginning to accept returns. And there is nothing wrong with that. Just so I can be clear, there is absolutely nothing wrong with preparing your returns early. But what clients need to know is that it's still not going to move forward until the IRS says so. And so after, you know, just taking a step back, responding in a very professional manner, even though Facebook is more personal, that post itself got so many shares and likes. And I got a couple inbox messages just from me explaining why, you know, I said what I said and what it meant, and that it was okay, you know, to start early. I even included a screenshot from the IRS site itself, just so I was moving the focus away from me and saying, here, you're getting the information directly from the source. You know, this isn't Takesha is saying you have to wait. It's directly from the source. If you start early, that's fine. Just understand that the company is going to hold it until we're ready. And then I said it can also work both ways. I can go speak to another CPA, for example, that may have more experience than me, more experience in a particular industry, or may have a law degree as well. So we have CPAs who are also tax attorneys. I cannot tell you the amount of information I could learn from someone in that position, even with me being in the field for going, you know, almost 20 years. I'm not like our other caller. I haven't hit that mark yet, but there's always something that we can glean from other thought leaders. As the doctor was saying, you can't pigeonhole yourself to think that you can always do it all. Thought leadership goes hand in hand with the mastermind group, and we can all be thought leaders in our own right.
And so, again, thank you for the contribution. You handled a challenge perceiving yourself in a situation to be the thought leader. And it can go either way. It can go either way. My position as the public relations expert. I've been in this industry, although I did not specifically take on one title. I'm just not that kind of entrepreneur. I've had a lot of different professional roles where I've earned merits and definitely accomplished across a number of industries. What made me step into this position was seeing the need that needed to be filled. As great, and I'm very attracted to thought leaders because I believe that they have a value just based on their positions, that they oftentimes can be trusted. You know, when you've been in the game beyond 5 years, which I want to say is the business marker, you know, no question for a decade, you have something to say. And you are just on the expense of time. No one knows what you've learned. No one knows what you've acquired. But we can commonsensically assume that you know some things. And so I'm attracted to them because I believe that their value can be monetized. I think their value can be considered socially responsible. I think there's a mandate that the more that you know, and I'd love to have you speak to this, doctor, but the more that you know, are you knowing it just for the sake of knowing it? What's with these lifelong learners that don't have a portal to disseminate that which they are learning? Who are you impacting? What values are you leaving behind? So I'm attracted to thought leaders as ideal clients because if they do have success, which helped them find that position, ascribed a third party or someone giving them the title, whether they realize it themselves, I think it's a success track for them to position themselves and to continue to deliver. The only challenge is either they are so busy doing what they're doing, they don't have the time to put it together. So they'll either, you know, hire a firm or either they get speaking agents. I mean, I hear different things. But from my position, what I realized in 2017 is that marketing yourself and promoting yourself is going to be a turnoff in any capacity, generally with the public. And what they're looking for, and if you're looking for, if you're that thought leader listening to this episode, you're that entrepreneur, you're that one that's sitting here thinking, oh, I just need to do more and more and more marketing. Marketing has its purpose. Marketing is the content and it's the information that you are putting together, be it visual, video, auditory, what have you. It's the information that you're putting out, and you want an expected, an intentional response, right, from the audience that you are hopefully targeting your marketing to. Where is your content going? What is the purpose? What do you want to achieve? You want to transact, right? If you're in business, It's assumed, unless you are a nonprofit and you are existing for charitable purpose, it's assumed you want to make money. And I have a client, Karen Hoyos. She is an international global celebrity transformation coach. I will never forget she got on one of our shows and she says, you know, if you are a nonprofit and you are broke, that is not good. So even a nonprofit needs to show that they are transacting and they are prosperous. If they're not, they're not going to get donations. How are they going to get funding? How are they going to get sponsors? You have to be able to communicate the facts that you are prospering. Otherwise, you'll be another nonprofit begging for money. And that's just it, and that is all. So I have more to share on that. We've got, you know, just less than 10 minutes left on the show. But I want to give people some strategic free advice this morning. Thank you all for your thought shares. Somebody needs to get over a hurdle today. If the hurdle with the marketing, self-promotion, and getting comfortable with talking about your business, I want to give you some real strategies to help you get out of that place of being stuck and realize what you need to do based on the social psychology of your audience. And by audience, I mean everything from social media to LinkedIn to your professional networks, which oftentimes are there, to the media, the press, and then you got to think about how the general public sees you. So you got to be thinking about all of that as an entrepreneur, a brand owner, and a business owner. I've said a lot. I hope you're still with me, Doctor. But
what
can you add?
Okay, real quick, because we only got a little bit of time left, so I'm going to add some key points here, right?
Can you speak up just a bit for me? Just speak, turn up your volume just a bit.
Can you hear me a little bit better now?
A little bit better. Just project your voice a little bit more.
Sure. What I was going to say was that we only have a little bit of time left, so I just want to hit some key points real quick. When you were talking about being a thought leader and then the more you know, And what's happening right now is that the more you know is based upon you not being a lone genius, but a corporate genius. A corporate genius is an individual who simply sits back and says, I'm going to have a collaborative group that's around me, that strengthens me in every phase, so that I don't become, I can avoid burnout, and I don't become what you call as a human spam by me being the only individual that's putting out my information.
I know that's right. Okay.
So I want to just say here, one of the things that I'm looking at is just listening to the show is that one is you're only as good as your last post, so share something every day. Two, build up a network before you have a big project to avoid being a human spam. Three, get inspired. Get inspired. Get inspired about your business. And that just means being a thought leader means that I am going to lead the field, and I am going to involve others. That's what I think that we're looking at today. I think that we now have to realize that our network is going to determine our net worth. And the more we network, the more we bring in other people, and we're not trying to just clutter our brains with everything, because that's what confuses them. We find ourselves going in 20 different directions when we only really need to go in one.
Okay. Wow. Powerful. And I think he's spot on, and he's giving great advice. I think we have found somewhat of an answer. I hope you all would agree with me that one of the ways that you can reduce, minimize, or hopefully eliminate your self-promotion challenges is to adopt a groupthink mindset, surrounding yourself with advisors, consultants, coaches, people that can help you get your mindset straight so that you can lead your business more effectively. Get a collaborative group, he mentioned. Corporate genius. I can tell you, I've been an entrepreneur all of my adult life. It is hard to find people who can establish many times a character, trust. It's hard to kind of know that they are credible and vetted to be advisors to your business. You want to make sure you're getting the right information for people, but how would you know that if there wasn't information out that was, in a sense, promoting them? Unless you get that personal introduction and you have a chance to build up those relationships, that's really hard. So networking is valuable. I wouldn't rush it, but I would definitely follow what I consider third-party information. When you see the reviews and when you see the PR and when you see the news stories, this is what's going to catapult you. Set aside a budget, not just for your marketing so that you can transact and so that you can make money, but set aside a budget so that you have published communication about even your groups. You know, it works when you're in a picture or aligned with, or you get an endorsement by a fellow colleague who is also a thought leader in their community. It becomes exponential in terms of the value, the catapult. You've already changed the mind of those who are connected to them about you. They're more ready to receive who you are and learn more about what it is that you do. And most importantly, make sure that what's out there about you is communicating value. You're the only one that knows what you're doing that is valuable. But if your ideal client doesn't know that, if the next person that you connect with doesn't know that, if you're relying on just that content that you've been putting out every day, like I said, last year, only 6% of content, if I didn't share it, I'm telling you now, only 6% of content on social media was shared, period. So your content is your marketing, but if people aren't sharing it, that's letting you know, I don't feel moved enough to take an action to share this. Your Facebook friends and your family are oftentimes not your ideal clients. Maybe you need to have a Facebook group. You need to put out LinkedIn posts that help people know what you're thinking about your industry and give some guidance and let them see you leading a community. Let them see you volunteering. You are socially responsible. It's not just about making money, but you care about community in general. Press releases are great. They're not what they were. A press release just tells people what you're doing. It doesn't make them build trust in your brand. They need to constantly see that you are relevant in the spaces and places that you're operating in. And this is a PR mediaphilic show, so we offer those services. I want you to tune in to us. Become a regular subscriber at speakintothepotlight.com. Follow us on Twitter at Into the Potlight. Join us for our next Talk on Tuesday show. We welcome all callers. I certainly welcome those that we have on the call now. And I just want to give you all a chance to shout out your websites. That's about all you have time for, so we can connect with you and learn more about what you've got going out there. Let's start with Takesha. Just shout out your website.
Thank you, Tracy. You can find me at integrityfirstcpa.com. That's the word integrity, the number one ST for first, and CPA, C as in cat, P as in Paul, A as in apple.
Okay, 5 seconds. Doctor, share out your website.
InspiringAllMinds.com.
Thank you. Dr. Delise Williams, she didn't introduce herself, but I've got to toot her on. Your website.
TheKidsCorner.com. It's KIDZKORNA.com.
Thank you for listening. I'm Tracy Bond, your PR host, doing the PR most on SpeakIntoThePodLight.com. You could be our next guest. Go to SpeakIntoThePodLight.com today.
Bye-bye.